Good morning, church. Revelation 5, as Mr. Hopper said. Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside it. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." Then I saw a lamb, looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. The lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice, they were saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power for ever and ever." The four living creatures said, "Amen," and the elders fell down and worshipped. This is the word of the Lord.
The book of Revelation is a series of visions, symbols, and Old Testament references. While it often appears daunting, it is written to reveal, not to conceal, to comfort, not to confuse, to prepare, not necessarily predict. This second section focuses on the throne room of heaven and is the background for the judgments to come. Worship is the main event, the worship of the resurrected and glorified Jesus, depicted as the Lion of Judah and the Lamb that was slain.
Well, it's a privilege to be with you again this morning to open God's Word and to seek His Spirit to bring us into true and right worship of His Son. And Revelation 5 is our focus today. And since our first week in this book, we've noted its purpose is to be a blessing to the church, to be an encouragement for us to press on, to endure, and to overcome. And we've seen enough of the symbolism and imagery to know that this book isn't a narrative of chronological future events to look out for. John hasn't recorded his visions as, "Then this will happen, and then this will happen," but rather, "Then I saw, and then I saw." During lockdown, many museums around the world have promoted their online tours. You can visit the Louvre in Paris and the Rijksmuseum in Amsterdam from the comfort of your own home, just remotely enjoying the collections, moving from room to room to marvel at these famous works of art. And the book of Revelation is like walking through a museum, in each room gazing in wonder at giant murals. These visions that John records, like great paintings with rich imagery expressing truth and a heavenly perspective on past, present, and future. Revelation 5 is a masterpiece. It's the Lion and the Lamb. The Lion who has triumphed, and the Lamb who was slain. Authority and humility. Wrath and mercy. Are you ready for a blessing? May this vision bring you comfort, confidence, and a celebration. Comfort that God has a plan, confidence that Christ has the power, and a celebration that Christ has redeemed his people. Well, we're still looking at that same vision from Revelation 4, but at the start of chapter 5, our attention turns to an object within that brilliant throne room that catches John's eye. Verse 1. Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. What catches John's eye in the midst of resplendent glory is a scroll in the right hand of him who sat on the throne. It's full of writing on both sides, and with seven seals it was wholly and completely shut. What is this scroll? Well, back in the day, I remember after finishing year 12, awaiting news of which university course I had been offered. And in those days, it came out in the newspaper. And I remember being up early one morning to see if it had been delivered. And yes, there it was out on the front lawn. This rolled up newspaper, a scroll, if you will, sealed with seven rotations of cling wrap. A combination of brute force and strategic wrestling saw me unravel the endless plastic. And with the scroll now opened, I found out my future, what uni I'd attend and what course I would study. It gave me confidence in my future and was a cause for celebration because all the hard work and tough times now had a reward. Let's see if this scroll in Revelation can give us confidence and a cause for celebration. But what is written in the scroll in the right hand of Almighty God? Well, to help us with that, we need to understand the Old Testament background to these Revelation symbols. An Old Testament scrolls had several purposes. Here's three for you. A scroll contained the statutes for a kingdom. 1 Samuel 10:25. Samuel explained to the people the rights and duties of kingship. He wrote them down on a scroll. Secondly, a scroll contained the proclamations for judgment. Ezekiel 2. I saw a hand stretched out to me. In it was a scroll which he unrolled before me. On both sides of it were written words of lament and mourning and woe. And thirdly, a scroll contained the inheritance of everlasting life. This is Daniel's vision in chapter 12. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. But you, Daniel, roll up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. Statutes for a kingdom, proclamations for judgment, and inheritance of everlasting life. These Old Testament aspects converge in this scroll of Revelation 5. But it's even broader than that. The scroll contains the complete volume of the sovereign plans and purposes of God. William Hendrickson describes it this way. It represents God's eternal plan, his decree, which is all-comprehensive. It symbolizes God's purpose with respect to the entire universe throughout history and concerning all creatures in all ages to all eternity. It's quite the document. And it's sealed. Now, have you kept up to date on all the COVID regulations these past 6 months? How often do they change? I see we're up to stay-at-home directions number 17. And why does it change? And why does the roadmap feel so fluid? Because the authorities are responding to things outside of their control. the spread of the virus, people's behaviours, and the plans change. The scroll in the hand of God, his plans and purposes, is sealed. The story has been written. No amendments, no revisions, no screwed up balls of paper cast about the foot of a heavenly trash can. And no blank spaces. Did you notice that? Writing on both sides. There are no gaps with God waiting to see what humans do to fill in the gaps. Humans won't determine the outcome of history. God already has. And it's written in the scroll. And this should bring us comfort. Comfort because God has a plan. A plan that is detailed, a plan that is perfect, a plan that cannot be tampered with. Most days, though, for us, it feels like things are out of control, doesn't it? Do you long to see peace and truth prevail in a society with righteous authority? Do you desire justice and the end of suffering and wickedness with all evil and death exposed and dealt with? Do you want to see the church presented perfectly to the bridegroom? Well, have comfort in this present time of hardship and pain. Have comfort because God is seated on his throne, not back at the drawing board, and he has his plan. It is in hand. And those three aspects to the scroll, his kingdom, his judgments, and everlasting life, locked and loaded. Now may he graciously grant each one of us patience and peace as we await its fulfillment. Now here's the thing about its fulfillment. Unless this scroll is opened, unless the seals are broken, it will remain unfulfilled. Verse 2. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" Who is worthy? Who can establish God's kingdom but a king? Who can execute God's judgment but a judge? And who can bring about the inheritance of everlasting life but the executor of God's will? Who could possibly be all these things? Verses 3 and 4, but no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. I know the turmoil of 2020 has thrown many plans into disarray. Maybe you had holiday plans. My sister and my parents had overseas trips cancelled. Perhaps you had special celebrations in your family, even a wedding that's been postponed. And when the plan falls through, a sense of disappointment and sadness hits. From John's perspective at this moment, there is no one worthy to open the scroll. And that means no one to execute those plans, no one to bring it to pass. And he wept and wept. This was beyond disappointment. For John, who had walked with Jesus and was loved by Jesus, this was a real gut-wrenching observation that God's plans and purposes would never be accomplished. Wickedness continues, suffering eternally rampant, even the abhorrent attitudes of humans toward their Creator never dealt with. The church never attaining to the inheritance of life and fully experiencing the incomparable riches of his grace. John wept and wept. Does your heart ache over this world? If not, then sing those words in prayer. Break my heart for what breaks yours. John's heart broke in despair because he concluded no heavenly kingdom, no justice, and no everlasting life. But then, we read verse 5. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. "See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." The Lion, mighty, fearsome, regal King. One of the elders notices John's agony and tells him to see there is one who is worthy. The Lion having the royal authority of a fearsome king. And this is the confidence that we as God's people should have each day and through each trial. Not just comfort that God has a plan, but confidence that it will come to pass. There is one who has the power to execute the plan. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. Now again, here we've got some Old Testament references, so let's take a look. Back in Genesis 49, Israel himself on his deathbed blesses his 12 sons, and he says of Judah in verses 9 and 10, "You are a lion's cub, Judah. You return from the prey, my son. Like a lion, he crouches and lies down. Like a lioness, who dares to rouse him? The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet." The scepter, an emblem of regal power and authority, will not depart from Judah. The Lion of the tribe of Judah symbolizes this awesome, majestic rule of a king. Are you a royal watcher? Do you take interest in the British monarchy and who's in line to the throne? Of course, Charles is the heir. But who's next? William? And then? Well, it used to be Harry, but some newborns came along from William, so Harry's been pushed down the list. And then Meghan came along, and Harry's almost off the list. And I remember the days Prince Andrew was quite close to the throne. Now he's quite far, quite far. But the one who holds the scepter of England does so temporarily and will eventually pass it on to whoever is next at the time. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, on the other hand, owns the universal scepter. Authority and kingship belong to him. Jesus Christ, born 2,000 years ago of the tribe of Judah, is the Lion. He owns kingly authority. And the Bible speaks so much of the eternal kingdom and the reign of the Messiah, and even the angel told Mary before Jesus' birth in Luke 1, "He will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." Jesus Christ has all rule and authority. And this man demonstrated this awesome truth by his life and his resurrection. He triumphed while on earth. Illnesses and fevers, he healed. Wind and waves, he calmed. Demons and evil spirits, he cast out. Earthly authority, he exposed. Death, he voluntarily submitted to for good reason, and then overruled and conquered. He triumphed over everything this fallen world could throw at him. And if this scroll has the statutes for an eternal heavenly kingdom, who is worthy to open the scroll? The regal, majestic Lion, Jesus Christ, King of Kings. He is worthy. Now we know this scroll also contains proclamations for judgment. And if Jesus is king and can open the scroll, then he must also be the judge. Is that here in Revelation 5? Well, John heard, "The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed." The Root of David, the Root of the battle-hardened warrior king. Have a look at Isaiah chapter 11. "A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, and from his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. And this is a prophecy of Jesus, but as a shoot, as a branch from the root. Yet John's told here in Revelation 5 that the root of David has triumphed. So what's going on here? How is Jesus both the root and the offshoot? Well, he's the offshoot because he descended from him. Jesus is the son of David many generations later. Yet he is the root because Jesus precedes David in being. And David's heart for God and his appetite for a battle to wield his sword in rage against God's enemies was first eternally found in Jesus. This is why David referred to Jesus as my Lord in the Psalms. It's hard to get your head around it, both the root and the offspring, but it's significant. I mean, have a look at Jesus' choice of final words, of his choice of words in his final description of himself at the end of all scripture. Revelation 22:16, I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. He aligns himself with the conquering David who has slain his 10,000s. In this sense, Jesus is the judge. Let's go back to Isaiah 11 about this shoot coming forth. Look at verse 4 there. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Here is the warrior. Here is the battle. The root of David is the preeminent conqueror with a heart for God, and with the rod of his mouth he will unleash judgment on this earth. Is this Jesus? You bet it is. We see it more in Revelation 19. Coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. Striking the nations with the sword from his mouth, we just saw that in Isaiah 11. Ruling with an iron scepter. There's the scepter Israel mentioned way back in Genesis 49. Doesn't the word of God amaze you? It's all one story. It's all the revelation of Jesus Christ. And this judgment is part of God's plan. It's in the scroll. Because every attitude, thought, and action that is not holy must be dealt with. Every human being will be held accountable for themselves. Who is worthy to open the scroll and execute judgments? Jesus Christ, the root of David, is the warrior, battle-hardened conqueror. He is worthy. Now, this vision, it's given to us here in Beaconsfield in the year 2020. It's to be a blessing. It's to strengthen us and to build confidence. And Jesus is the lion, the king and judge. So have confidence in his power to bring about the sovereign plans and purposes of God. Now, that's not to say life is easy. Each day is filled with challenges, physical, mental, relational. But our confidence is in Jesus' unrivaled supremacy over all ailments, worries and uncertainty, and over any wrongs we may suffer. In his time, he will address it, and more justly than we ever could. Be assured, whatever he allows us to experience, he does so for a purpose that is good and wise. And how can we be an encouragement to one another? Just as this elder spoke to John, let's reassure one another in times of weeping and despair of the majestic authority of Christ as King and the justice that he will bring as judge. As followers of Christ, let your life be a witness of confidence in him. Jesus has triumphed, and he is worthy to open the scroll. Now, we still have that third aspect of the scroll to be considered, the inheritance of everlasting life. It's the best. So let's return to the throne room. This incredible scene, with flashes of lightning and peals of thunder. Imagine John lifting his head, expecting to see the glory and might of this triumphant lion, the awe and power of this king and judge. Verse 6. Then I saw a lamb looking as though it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne. A lamb, humble, lowly, a vulnerable animal. It had been slain, but was standing. Where's the lion? Was John misled? Well, take a closer look at the lamb. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. The lamb had seven horns, complete authority, and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. The Spirit of the Lord is upon him, and he sees all and knows all to judge righteously. The king and judge are still symbolized, but it is a lamb who is revealed to be the worthy one. Imagine John's shock and surprise. Why a lamb? Why a slain lamb? It's the Old Testament sacrifice. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. God's plan all along has been to redeem a people for his own good pleasure, to restore in them his own image which has been distorted by wickedness and pride, to return men, women and children to the only truly satisfying human experience of glorifying him and enjoying him forever. But the problem is, every human deserves the lamenting and mourning and woe of the judgments in this scroll. We've proven through attitudes, thoughts and actions that we are against God, self-centered, prideful people, and with disdain for God's awesome holiness, we think we're relatively good when compared to others. Every human will bow before that righteous judge who will slay the wicked. But here is the love and grace of God, the mercy and compassion of God, the goodness and delight of God. Seeing our plight, seeing our situation from which we could not save ourselves, he made a way. Jesus Christ was crucified, enduring the wrath of God in our place. He was the sacrificial lamb, slain instead of us. He suffers wrath so we walk free, forgiven our wrongdoings, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb into that everlasting life. The scroll, sealed with seven seals, who is worthy to establish God's kingdom but a king? Who is worthy to execute God's judgment but a judge? And who can bring about the inheritance of everlasting life but the executor of God's will? And for an inheritance to be granted, the author of the will must die and the surviving executor must arrange the payment. And Jesus is both the one who died and the surviving executor. Only Jesus is worthy to open the scroll, because the most glorious part of that scroll for you and me is the plan of redemption. And only Jesus had paid the price of that redemption with his blood. So only he can execute the full will of God. Only he can enact his plans and purposes, because it includes not just the kingdom, not just judgment, but the salvation of the elect and their eternal inheritance of glory. Have you come to him for mercy? Have you expressed faith in his work on the cross for you? Have you come running to the judge to bow and declare, "The Lamb is my Redeemer"? To call out, "Jesus, have mercy. You are my Saviour." You must have faith. Consider this coming judgment, because the time is short. The seals are opening. The king is lifting the sceptre. The judge is taking his stand. The Lamb is breaking the seals. Now we're only at verse 7, But let's just summarize the rest of the chapter to finish up. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. God's plans are now in the hand of Jesus Christ. They can now be fulfilled. And from this point onwards, the Father and the Lamb occupy the throne together with sovereign control over the universe. And what follows is a momentous celebration. Scenes of worship for the Worthy One. The 24 elders and four living creatures, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain. And the worship ripples outward with a myriad of angels joining the chorus. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. And then outward even further, these circles of worship with every creature in heaven, on earth and under the earth and on the sea. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be praise and honour and glory and power forever and ever. It's a celebration. God's plan of redemption is assured. And for his people, if you have faith in Jesus Christ, you have that free gift of eternal life. So rejoice. Rejoice always. And take this with you today, tomorrow, and beyond. As we journey the difficulties and trials of this temporary world, have comfort that God has a plan. Have confidence that Christ has the power. But above all, live in celebration, for he has redeemed his people. He is worthy. Let's pray. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be praise and honour and glory and power forever and ever. The four living creatures said, Amen, and the elders fell down and worshipped. Our Lord, may we worship you with our whole selves forever and ever. Amen.